Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We're actually going to complete the study of Psalm 139. And this is a commentary in 1 John on Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And this morning, I want you to think about the courage to pray. The courage to pray. In the context of Psalm 139, and in verse 1 John 5 through 10, think about the courage to pray. And keep in mind what the choir has just sung so beautifully to us. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, to me. Shall we pray? O God, our heavenly Father, we praise your holy and majestic name and thank you for the blessings that you have poured upon us during our time of worship this morning. And now we look forward to continued blessings from you as you instruct us from your word by your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, give us understanding of who you are and who we are and the privilege we have of being your children and the privilege of praying to you and the courage to pray. Father, may your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in their relationship with you. May those here today who do not know Jesus as Savior, may they come to understand their need for Christ to forgive them of their sin and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness, to be adopted as your children. So, Father, help us to focus on you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 139, as we've been studying it, is a powerful psalm, powerful message to God's people about who he is, how he's formed us, how he knows us. He's hemmed us all around by himself. He's formed us intricately in the mother's womb. He knows the thoughts and words before they even become into our minds and across our lips. We can't run from him. Everywhere we go, he's right there with us. In his book are formed the days, even though they haven't been accomplished yet. He has a plan for us. He knows that plan. And it's working out in us every day of our lives. He knows us completely and thoroughly. That's the context of that psalm. And then you get to verses 23 and 24. Realizing who God is. And this is what David says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Do you and I have the courage to pray like that to God? It's interesting, all these verbs in here. Search me, try me, know are all commands. And we're not bossing God here. Don't misunderstand that. Being the commands means we're asking God, do this. I want you to do this. I want you to search me. I want you to try me. I want you to see if there's any wicked way in me. And I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. That's an expression of the desire of the heart of the believer to the believer's Heavenly Father. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do that. How do we have that courage to stand before God, our Heavenly Father, who is holy, 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 and invite Him into our lives in such a thoroughly examining way? You got to have courage to do that. And this is where 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 comes in. So turn with me to 1 John 1, 5. Notice John says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. This is spiritual light, as Hunter opened with from Psalm 62. This is spiritual light, penetrating light that goes into the depths of our hearts and our minds and our souls. And it reveals the spiritual darkness, the sin and all the unrighteousness against God. It exposes that to you personally, to each of us personally. And when we say, search me, O God, that's what we're asking Him to do. You send your penetrating light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see it. Do you and I want to see that in our own lives? And look at the next phrase, that in God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, period. None whatsoever. We're the ones that have the darkness, not God. And then look at verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and do not and walk in darkness. Anybody who says they have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, look what the next verb says. We lie. We're the ones that are lying. And the truth is not in us. Because the truth tells us we're in darkness and we need light. And 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The fellowship that we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ depends on the light in us, the light of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The maintaining, sustaining of that relationship depends on that light in us on a daily basis, confessing sin, repenting. Look at the verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we don't have any sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now we come to verse 9. And brothers and sisters, verse 9 is the courage that we have to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There's our courage. Because look what verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, the word confess means to acknowledge. Yes, not only am I a sinner, but I'm angry, I'm judgmental, I'm proud, I'm arrogant. You name it. Whatever sin is in your heart, whatever you're guilty of, the Spirit of God is telling you, you do this, this is who you really are, then you're guilty of it. And I'm guilty of my own sin. And when we say, "Search me, O God," that's what we're asking Him to do. The courage comes that when we confess our sin, when we acknowledge it, what is God going to do? He's faithful and just. God is faithful. When He says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. He does not lie to us. He does not deceive us. And He's just. That means He's righteous. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. He's not telling us to come to Him and confess and acknowledge, "Oh, I'll forgive you." And then what does He do? He slaps us and says, "Oh, I'm not going to forgive you." That is not God. That is not God at all. He is faithful and He is just. He's righteous. What He says He will do, He will do it. And what comes next? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we have the courage to pray. All of us who were believers, we're sinners saved by grace. We're still sinful people. God's working at us. We're making some progress. But we're still sinners. And when you and I confess and acknowledge that sin, we're forgiven. The word forgive means to release. God doesn't carry grudges. God forgives. He releases us of that sin. David uses the word in Psalm 62 that Hunter used this morning, the word iniquity. It means He forgives of the sin and the guilt that goes along with it. How many of us here today are carrying guilt because we don't believe God could forgive us of that particular sin? I just don't think He could do that. And you are wrong. But not only does He forgive of that sin where we place ourselves instead of in what we want to do instead of submitting to God, but the guilt that goes along with it, He removes that as well. He forgives, He releases, He pardons, He removes it as far as the east is from the west. That's why you and I have the courage to go before God, our Father, and we confess that sin knowing that He forgives. And then look at the next verb. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive, He cleans us up. He gives us an internal bath every time we confess the sin and ask for forgiveness. And all of that, and the courage that we have to pray and to be assured of our forgiveness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ as we observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. That bread represents His body, the body upon which He took your sin and mine upon Himself willfully, because He loves us and He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He has taken that sin that you and I are guilty of and placed it on Himself. And while that sin was on His body, there's a judgment of God that had to come. And the Lord Jesus satisfied the holy and just and righteous judgment of God on our behalf. He took that judgment, that condemnation, so you and I will never face the condemnation of God. Romans 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what we have. That's what gives us the courage. And that cup of juice representing the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of that sin and unrighteousness. Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, tells us that there's life in the blood. And when Jesus shed His blood, He poured His life out that you and I would have life. But it didn't end there, because He was raised from the dead on the third day. And He's very much alive today as He lives in each of us who have faith in Him alone for salvation. By His Spirit He lives in us, and we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Brothers and sisters, the courage to pray, we have courage to pray, because we know that when we confess and repent and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. So the Apostle Paul says, examine yourself before you come to the table. Let's do that right now. And you and I pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Brother, elders, as you are going to serve, would you come forward and let's spend some time in prayer. Father in heaven, we have courage to pray because of your faithfulness to us and our faith in Christ. And when we ask that you search us, that you test us, that you know us, you will do so in such a manner that you will reveal the sin to us. And we have the assurance that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love and your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, when we hear from the Holy Scriptures and when we partake of the sacrament, I'm reminded that we are receiving a word that is 2,000 years old, and then some. So what we're doing is we are simply receiving faithfully what's been handed down from generation to generation of Christian after Christian after Christian, church after church after church. And when you think about that, and when you think about the words of John in 1 John 5-10, one thing that becomes very clear is that God intends for His Word to be in you. That was John's purpose in writing those words, to say, if your life looks like this, His Word is not really in you. If your life looks like this, then His Word is in you. And you heard as Richard preached, the way you tell is this matter of confession. Do you believe, do you confess what the church has confessed about this bread and about this wine, the cup? That what's signified here is the body of Jesus Christ. That His body was separated from the Father, that our bodies might be reunited with the Father. And the cup, that His blood was shed, that ours might not be. Do you believe that message? Are you willing and ready for that message to sink deep in you? That's what Holy Communion is for. And it is appropriate, as Richard said, for us to examine ourselves. Not just for the sin in our life, but for the holiness of this moment. This is a special set-aside time in the life of the church to reflect upon the work of God, the grace of God. So, let us do that now. And if you, in hearing me say these things, say, I don't believe what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe it. Then I would just encourage you to just let the elements pass by. This meal is for those who need their faith in this message strengthened. So let's do that now. Let's pray and examine our hearts before the King. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank you for the gift of this sacrament. A sacrament is something that the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do. He has commanded that it be done in His church, that the Word of God may be clearly represented, may be clearly signified, and may be treated as it ought to be treated, namely, that it might be received into our life, into our will, into our affections, into our emotions, into our thoughts, into our actions. That's what this is for. That we might receive by faith the Word of God that is visibly represented here. And so, Father, we ask now for your Holy Spirit to help us partake of this meal in a godly and orderly and holy manner. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Almighty God and Father in heaven, I set aside this bread as a sign and seal of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the grace that you impart to your church through him. Father, we bless you and we thank you for his precious sacrifice. We pray, O Lord, that through this holy ministry of your sacrament, that you might strengthen our faith, that you might help us to remember what you have done in taking our sins off of us and placing them upon him. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us commune together. In the same way, after supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Almighty God and Father in heaven, how precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. Father, those are true words, because the blood of the Lord Jesus has atoned for the sins of many. And Father, I set aside this cup to signify that holy and precious grace, to signify that holy and precious work. Father, would you strengthen our faith? Would you strengthen our faith in your grace and in your love and in your power and in the forgiveness of our sins, which I set aside now this cup to signify and seal. And we pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us commune together. Remember the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And put that together with the words of 1 John. And see if your word be found in me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.